Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Yield Curve, What Is It Really Predicting? Is a short financial research study by Edward Yardeni and Melissa Tagg, published as part of the Predicting the Markets topical study series. Rather than treating the yield curve as a simple recession alarm, the book argues that its main forecasting value lies in signaling the likely direction of Federal Reserve policy. It explains why inversions happen, how they relate to monetary and credit cycles, and why they often appear before recessions without being the direct cause of them. The book is aimed at investors, economists, and market readers who want a more disciplined way to interpret bond market signals. By linking the yield curve to Fed behavior, credit conditions, globalization, and financial crises, it offers a practical framework for understanding how interest rate expectations are embedded in bond yields and why those expectations matter for stocks and the broader economy. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, reframing the yield curve as a forecast of Federal Reserve policy. The central claim of the study is that the yield curve does not primarily predict recessions. It predicts the policy path the Federal Reserve is likely to follow. Yardeni and Tagg challenge the common media interpretation that an inversion itself causes economic downturns. Instead, they present the curve as a market-based summary of expectations about short-term rates, inflation control, and the Fed response function. When long-term yields fall below short-term yields, the message is not simply that a recession is imminent, but that investors expect tighter policy to slow the economy. This reframing matters because it changes how readers interpret bond market signals. The curve becomes less of a mystical warning device and more of a practical indicator of monetary conditions. That distinction is important for analysts who need to separate a warning about policy restraint from the actual timing of recession risk, which may depend on how credit markets and economic activity respond afterward. Secondly, how monetary and credit cycles interact with the business cycle. A major theme in the book is the relationship between the business cycle, the monetary cycle, and the credit cycle. The authors argue that the yield curve should be read in connection with these broader cycles rather than in isolation. Monetary tightening can flatten or invert the curve, but recession usually emerges only if tighter policy restricts credit creation enough to weaken spending, investment, and confidence. In this framework, the curve reflects expectations about future financial conditions, not a self-contained recession mechanism. The book therefore encourages readers to see recessions as the outcome of policy pressure interacting with lending behavior and economic momentum. This is a useful correction to overly linear interpretations of the curve. It explains why the same inversion can sometimes precede a downturn, and at other times merely reflect a temporary market adjustment. The cycle-based approach gives investors a richer diagnostic tool for understanding whether a warning signal is being reinforced by credit stress or remaining an isolated market. Thirdly, why financial crises can reshape the curve before they reshape the economy. The study also emphasizes that the yield curve is both a predictor and a responder when financial stress rises. Yardeni and Tagg discuss how the curve anticipates financial crises and reacts to them, which makes it more dynamic than a simple recession gauge. When markets begin to fear instability, bond prices, safe haven demand, and expectations about Fed intervention can all alter the curve's shape. That means the curve can shift in response to crisis risk even before the broader economy has fully deteriorated. The authors use this insight to show that financial crises and recessions are related but not identical phenomena. A crisis may tighten credit conditions, trigger policy responses, and alter the yield structure in ways that later affect growth. This makes the curve useful for tracking stress transmission across markets. Readers learn that the curve is not just about growth forecasts. It is also about the market psychology and policy expectations that can accompany sudden instability. Fourthly, globalization and the changing structure of U.S. bond yields. Another important contribution of the book is its attention to globalization and its effect on the U.S. bond market. The authors suggest that international capital flows, global savings patterns, and worldwide demand for safe assets influence the shape of the yield curve. This means the curve cannot be interpreted as if it were driven only by domestic inflation and domestic growth. Global forces can compress long-term yields, alter term premia, and make the curve flatter or more inverted than traditional models might expect. By including globalization, the book avoids a purely US-centric explanation of interest rate behavior. This is especially relevant for modern investors because bond markets are interconnected across borders, and foreign demand can materially affect pricing. The practical implication is that analysts need to ask whether a curve movement is signaling only U.S. recession risk or also reflecting international capital market conditions. That broader lens makes the study more current and more realistic than older yield curve treatments. Lastly, using the yield curve as a market tool, not a headline slogan. The final practical contribution of the study is methodological. It shows readers how to use the yield curve more carefully, rather than relying on a single headline spread as a binary recession signal. The book encourages readers to think about what the curve is pricing into future Fed action and what that implies for stocks. The authors note that recessions are usually bearish for equities, but the main value of the curve lies in anticipating the sequence of policy moves that may lead to changing market conditions. That makes the curve useful for investors who need to position portfolios before policy shifts become obvious in the real economy. The book also includes a primer on the yield curve, reinforcing the idea that interpretation depends on understanding term structure and rate expectations. Its practical lesson is not that the curve is useless as a warning signal, but that it is more informative when used as a guide to policy expectations, liquidity conditions, and risk pricing rather than as a simplistic recession prophecy. In conclusion, this book is best suited for investors, economists, market strategists, and readers who want a sharper explanation of bond market signals than the usual recession commentary provides. It is especially useful for people who follow Federal Reserve policy, fixed income markets, or macroeconomic indicators and need to understand why the yield curve matters. Its main benefit is conceptual clarity. It reframes the curve as a forecast of policy direction and credit conditions, not as a magical recession detector. That makes it more practical than many popular treatments of the same topic, which often stop at inversion headlines. Compared with broader macro books, this study is narrower but more focused, and that focus is its strength. It connects the curve to monetary policy, financial crises, globalization, and equity risk in a concise framework that is easy to apply. Readers looking for a short, research-driven guide to interpreting yield curve behavior will find it more useful than general market commentary because it explains not just what the curve looks like, but what it is actually pricing. If you would like to support Edward Yardeni, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.